Previously on Reckless Dice, the party arrive for a calm night at the Three Feathers Inn. However, the inn is packed with a multitude of characters, including the Gravin Maria Ulrich von Liebowitz of Ambostein and her elaborate retinue. She is traveling to her trial in Kemperbad with her judicial champion and legal counsel after being accused by Baron Eberhard von Demmenblatz of causing his father to die at an ostentatious party in Nuln. Other patrons include the Ordo Ultima, an exposed chaos cult of Slaanesh, who were blackmailing the now recently murdered barrister of the Graben. An illicit affair between a commoner, a nobleman, and her jealous fiancé, a quick-fingered gnome, a gambling halfling, a traveling group of three Morian priests, and a tough-looking Auslander. Welcome to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions, where we explore the grim world of perilous adventure and Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Tonight's adventure, part two of A Rough Night at the Three Feathers, the first of five scenarios by Graham Davis from the adventure book Rough Nights and Hard Days. My name is Jesse Burke, and I'll be your host and GM. Our cast of characters tonight include Layla Burke, playing Bernagut, Kazma's daughter, Ganvilgar, a rank two dwarven investigator.
I go by Bernie.
Doug Beard, playing Madison Pattison, a rank 2 halfling thief.
Hello, hello.
And Jay Robinson, playing Doran Finslane, the rank 1 high elf outlaw.
Hello.
So, we find ourselves in the middle of the night at the Three Feathers Inn. It's already been a busy night with a variety of inn patrons coming and going with conflict and fights. There's been a bar brawl, there's been illicit lovers, there's been a break-in.
There's a murder.
There's potentially a murderer afoot, an exposed chaos cult. We begin the adventure tonight upstairs. Bernie, Madison, the two of you are upstairs in the hallway, just outside of the room that the Morian priests are staying in, and you hear a tremendous shout and scuffling from their room. Meanwhile, outside, Dorinfin, you arrive at the inn to catch up with your party, having been waylaid. Now, what caused you to be late?
I got delayed getting out of town. I had some personal things I had to take care of.
All right, and you've worked your way through the night. It was you know better than to travel at night, but your outlaw and stealth skills help you kind of stay quiet in the shadows. You arrive at the Three Feathers to see the front door ajar. There is commotion. The lights are on in the inn. This is highly unusual for an Imperial coaching inn in the middle of the night. And you walk in the front door. There's a halfling and a gnome playing cards on the table. You see coin piles. You see some gambling going on. But there is distinctly a commotion going on upstairs. There's a single flight of stairs connecting the main bar room from all the patrons' rooms upstairs. And you work your way upstairs to find two of your friends, Bernie and Madison, and several other of the inn's patrons for the night, standing in the hallway trying to figure out what to do as this one particular room you hear commotion and a scuffle coming from. Now the landlord, he comes up and he's trying to figure out what to do too. And he reminds everybody, now remember, they said that there was going to be some commotion around midnight, didn't they? That's what they said, I believe.
That's what I heard.
Now he stands kind of between everybody and the door, essentially trying to stop anybody from interrupting them. He feels like it would be improper. And he reminds everybody, now the initiates told him that they'd be praying over their body for the evening. And he kind of stands there uneasily as this, like, this moaning and this bumping and this variety of, like, some furniture creaking and things like that are going on in the room. He seems uneasy.
Now, have we resolved whatever we were doing with the Slaanesh cultists?
So let me sum up really quick where that was left.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to give you guys a chance to sum up what you remember, and then I will maybe fill in some holes.
Sure. As I recall, we were in room 11.
I knocked out Albrella.
You hit the younger lady and knocked her out cold.
She was pretty grievously wounded at the time, too. Like, she wasn't just, like...
She wasn't...
And then you came by and ripped her blouse open.
Right, because we... It's a long story.
It's okay, because he's a girl.
We're supposed to know what's on her chest. It was something that the barrister had asked us to do.
And it was a sigil of Erdo Ultima.
They basically have, like, a brand.
Yeah.
They're chaos cultists.
And an O.
With an O through it. So, she's basically done. And at the same time, the third member of their traveling group has disappeared. The second one is this old lady who looks at the three of us. At the time, Einar was with us. He had to go right before you walked in. It was crazy. You guys must have passed each other on the stairs. But Einar walks in, and she gets all twisted, and she ends up taking her own life by slashing her own throat.
In favor of being captured,
she says, I'm not giving up. Take one of these.
So there's a third cultist around here somewhere.
He's a dude. And he's dressed. He looks like a scholar. That's all we really know. But we don't know where he's gone.
But as Einar figured out last time, he is not a scholar.
They are Slaaneshi cultists.
Yeah.
So they're posing as scholars of Verena.
Correct.
which would be the equivalent of a learned scholar of the law and justice.
And he tricked them and determined that they weren't who they say they were. So that's where I remember going on in 11. 9, I'm not so sure we should worry about the priest right now. It seems like, to me, the landlord's got it in check. If he's going to stand in front of the door and worry about it, we can go about our business.
Well, I don't know.
I know where there's 25 gold. Or where there might be 25 gold.
Ooh, I'm down for that.
Okay. Room number 3 was the room of the barrister.
Yep.
And he had offered us... He was shaking in his boots.
This was before the cultists were revealed.
He wanted us to get rid of the cultists because they were blackmailing him.
And offered us 20 gold.
Which we declined.
Well, I didn't decline. However...
Because we didn't want to go about murdering anybody for some gold.
That was Einar's position, and I backed him on it. So we said, no, we can't kill anybody, and he immediately said 25. Well, he's traveling with this retinue. We have to assume the money that he has is his money and is likely in room 3. 25 gold will buy us a lot.
Yeah.
So, just saying, before the night is through, we might want to go exploring.
And also to paint the picture a little bit, at least a third of the patrons staying at the inn tonight are all part of the Graven's party.
Yeah, they know. Everybody knows the Graven.
There's a large contingent of her and her retinue traveling together.
Okay.
So she occupies an entire wing of the place.
So all of this is the Graven.
So we might have to go through a lot of people to do it.
And her legal counsel, the barrister, was just murdered
in room 3.
Ooh. In room 3, in the same room.
That's his room. That's why how we know that
he was being being blackmailed, and then when the party finally got there. He had been murdered.
It's like, oh, shoot, he's already dead. And at the time, we couldn't look for gold because there's all sorts of craziness going over here. We had to run over here to deal with the crazy cultist lady when she killed herself. And now, here we are.
So as Madison explains all this to Doran, Finn, and Bernie, the ruckus in the Morian's room continues.
I'm going to go check it out.
All right, and the inn's... owner is with you. The landlord is with you there.
Hold on, but before we do that, I want to secure the Albrella. I want to secure her somehow so that she doesn't get away.
I got rope.
Okay, like maybe let's tie her up or something.
I'm down with that.
Drag her into the hallway.
You guys run back. This is the one cultist who was wounded.
She's the youngest of the two female cultists that Bernie beat. She walked in and just slapped her to the ground. It was beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, you went in there for a solid. Yeah, she had like a +9 damage or something.
It was she hit the floor. It hasn't moved since. She's been sitting over there.
So you guys move away from the Morian's room for a moment to go back into the we'll call them the cultist room from this point.
So 11 is the cultist.
Yeah, she moved back in the cultist room. The two bodies are still there. And you take the opportunity to tie
Yeah, tie her and maybe like tie her to like something that can't
the
move.
Bed.
Yeah,
just
like
bed.
Tie her to the bed.
She's bleeding profusely. She's unconscious, but you can. She's still breathing.
Okay, like is Olga around somewhere?
Ursula.
Ursula, yeah.
Ursula stays in room 18. You can go check if you like.
I mean, I'd like to go see if maybe she'll just like tend to Albrella enough to make sure she doesn't die.
Okay, so you run down to Ursula's room. You knock on her door. There's no response.
I'll knock harder.
You knock harder. Nothing. It's quiet.
Ma'am?
Again, no response.
I'll try the...
Locked.
I can fix that.
Are you with me?
I'm right here in the hall.
Okay.
Okay, I just remind you guys, there are, you know, 5 other people out in the hallway with you right now.
Are they paying attention?
It's just a hallway, so it'd be pretty obvious.
It's
yeah.
probably pretty true. Yeah,
I mean, they are distracted by a variety of things. I mean, depending on how you want
to
play
what?
This.
I'm going to have to vote for it.
You could, like, stand, like, Bernie
she
could
dies,
stand in front of Madison.
At this point. We have other things we could be looking into.
But
yeah,
when,
if
but
she dies, why do you want to keep her alive?
Because she needs to be held accountable for the barrister's
that's
murder.
Fair. Okay, that's fair.
Okay,
sure.
Dying is being held accountable.
Not by the laws of man! Not by the laws of man.
Well, we execute them, don't we?
We don't. That's not
well,
my
the laws
role.
Do.
The laws
yeah.
do.
If the laws well, can do as they will. I just, that, but we got to get them to get her to the laws. That's my position.
With a particularly loud crash and bump and a thump in from the Morian's room, you can see that the landlord is feeling distressed and a little embarrassed. And he is now approaching their room, seemingly with the intent of trying to figure out what's going on and maybe talk with them.
I'm curious.
Yeah,
we'll
I mean, I'm curious,
yeah.
too.
So you walk
I
over
might
there.
Be standing behind that.
Alright, so he tentatively walks up to the door, and just as he reaches out for the handle, the door swings open, and one of the Morian priests is standing there, and the priest opens the door and apologizes for the noise. Now, in the room, you can see that there's the priest standing at the door, and then also there are 2 initiates who can be seen sitting firmly on top of a 3rd initiate on the bed. And
like
the,
holding him down, sitting
how
him?
Many
yeah.
total walked into the inn?
Weren't there 4? And they were carrying a casket, right?
Yeah.
I think it
were
was
there
4
total or 3? 3 and plus a casket.
So you have a picture of them right there.
Oh, how many are there?
I thought it was 4. I might be mistaken.
I
was pretty
that,
tripped out.
That only looks like there's 3 people in that.
That's 3 people plus a cat.
The one at the door explains that their brother sometimes has these spasms, being particularly sensitive to the vibrations from beyond the portal. It makes him a first-class priest of more, but it can be certainly inconvenient, and the landlord stands there somewhat puzzled and...
He's undead, I say.
And the landlord looks at them and kind of just sees that they have it under control and closes the door again.
Nope, he's undead.
Was there a chance we can make a perception check there?
Sure, go for it.
My main target here, I'm trying to discern if he is in fact dressed like them. It wasn't like a body that came out of a coffin that they're now sitting on.
Which of the 4 are you referring to?
Well, obviously the one that's being sat upon.
Yeah,
it's almost like they're hiding him. I don't know if they're hiding him or just holding him down or what.
You,
I want to know,
right,
is
go,
that
go
is
ahead.
He really one of them or did he maybe come out of there?
Go ahead and make the make your perception
okay.
roll.
Well, by 0.
Okay, the only thing you manage to ascertain from that quick glimpse is something you're starting to put together already, but I'll help you confirm it, which is that you recall there only being 3 priests of Mor.
Okay.
So, again, my hubris is giving into my curiosity at inappropriate times.
I'm with you, Bernie. Let's do this.
So.
Let's do this.
I've already made up my mind that he's undead, so I'm going to go ahead and barge the door open.
All right, so you go by, and the innkeeper, like, pushes
Morgan.
His hands in front of you and says, no, this I must protest. They said this was going to happen. They paid me appropriately. This is highly inappropriate.
There's an undead in there,
Deepo. That is exactly what they are meant to handle.
They're not handling it. It was in a coffin before, and now it's not.
And he protests heavily that you not interrupt them.
Okay, I'll just shove him out of the way.
Okay, so I need you to make a You need to convince him to allow you access.
Okay.
So would that be...
How about I draw my bow, since she's being so insistent?
You don't even have to do that. You're tall. Just push him out of my way.
So you guys are going to forcibly move the innkeeper away?
Pick him up. Move him away. Can I intimidate him with the elf?
Okay, so you can have the assistance of the elf. Yeah. Yes, that is something we can do. All right, so you are going to try and intimidate him out of the way.
Only 35.
You are 49.
You are tarnishing your reputation here with Hans Orff.
He's intimidating him.
Yeah, I'm going to do the intimidation. I got a 49.
All right, so you are. The elf says, stand aside. This will be an opposed roll, so give me your success levels.
Is that 100?
I'm unclear. Is that 100 or
0?
0
is 100.
That's 100.
Or is that 10?
That's a 10.
That's a 10.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so you
have a massive success. I think that's a fail.
A 10 is good.
10's huge.
Okay.
10's almost a critical.
That's three levels of success. Okay. Yeah. Plus her 10 bonus makes 4 levels of success.
Yeah. Okay.
The innkeeper bows away, afraid of the pressure you're imposing on him, though you can see he's rather upset by and grumbles about how this is highly inappropriate and something he doesn't stand for.
That's okay.
And he says he'll be barring you guys from this inn for any future stays.
Go ahead.
When we save the entire inn from this undead fiend, you'll be thanking us.
All right. So you push him aside and
go on in.
All right. And you open up the door. You find it still unlocked. You swing the door open, and you see 3 Morian priests. 2 of which sitting on the bed and 1 standing in the middle of the room.
See, they solved it, guys.
And they look at you and say, "What? Is there something we can help
Where's
you with?
Where's the 4th one?
He's back in the casket.
I'm sorry, you must be mistaken. I'm not mistaken.
I saw him clear as day. You were sitting on him. Where's the 4th one?
Well, we told that was, you must be, that was brother, Gehemnus knocked over here. And he gestures to one of the people sitting on the bed.
Where's the casket?
The casket's, it's on the side of the room.
I asked them to open it, please.
They say that is something we absolutely can't do.
Because there's an undead in there?
They say the undead need to remain at peace and dead. If something goes wrong, we do our best to maintain it. But in the evenings, as you well know, Morsleeb gets close, the darkness and the winds of magic begin to swirl, and the restless dead don't always stay restless until we get them to the Garden of Mor where they belong. Now, please, if you'll let us return to our praying, we can get this back under control. And the landlord says, I must insist, please. And he grabs you by your shirt and is trying to pull you out.
What are the guards doing at the end of the hallway?
Watching.
Intently?
As much as they can.
Because they've been drinking pretty heavily. I'm just wondering what the chances of me just kind of wandering over, sauntering over, and then maybe getting past them.
You guys have walked past them a couple times already. So you've had permission to pass them, sure. So they're familiar with you guys at this point.
Any chance I can get back into the barrister's room, room 3?
They see you. You brought them a couple of drinks in the prior.
Oh, absolutely.
Episode. So they notice you and they keep an eye on whatever you're doing, but they're
not going to follow me in there.
They're okay with it for now.
Okay. To go explore his room.
Okay, so you work your way down to room number 3.
Why not?
They seem preoccupied with the commotion that's going on over here for the time being. Since there's been nobody in this room for the past 15 or so minutes, the room is exactly as it was left.
Body's still where he was.
Nobody's gotten past the fact that he's been murdered, and the rest of the entourage hasn't even been woken up to really respond to the events yet.
Okay,
it's still that soon.
All right. Well, I will. Case the room. I'm looking for anything small box big hinges, locks, that kind of such.
Okay. You
leather bags.
Make me a perception roll. And let's go at minus 10.
Minus 10. Nope.
No.
I would have succeeded, but I missed by one.
Missed by one. So you spend some time casing the room. There are a variety of what would otherwise be valuables, but not the kind that are easily transferred into
too
cash.
Big,
you
would need whatever,
the right person or a certain way to transport it.
So no trace of 25 gold lying around anywhere?
Not that it is immediately apparent, no. And you could also suspect perhaps it's not something from his personal coffers. Maybe it's, you know, the Graven's money. It's hard to say. But you don't find it in his room.
All right. Well, then in exasperation, if I don't see anything else, window's still closed?
Window's still closed.
Okay. In that case, in exasperation, as I walk by, I'm just going to kick him in the side, you know, angrily, because I'm just an angry little halfling. I didn't find my money. I'm going to walk back out in the hallway.
So as everybody's kind of, as things are starting to calm down back in the hallway, you hear a little bit of commotion downstairs in the tap room as something the halfling and the gnome downstairs appear to be in some kind of commotion or excitement.
I will come around to where these two are staying in the hallway.
Okay. So down the stairs are kind of right in front of you across from the Morian's room, or rather the room from room 11 there. Are you guys heading downstairs, or are you...
Okay, 10 is empty, because that was the jealous...
Right.
The cheaters.
Those are the Schmidts.
They're gone. 9 is buttoned up for now, and the landlord's not happy about us messing, and we'll have to leave at B. Mm-hmm. 11, we've got somebody tied to a bed. We may want to address that.
Yeah, I think I want to go look for Ursula, and then that coincides with whatever's happening downstairs.
She's given us the Heisman a couple of times.
Well, we knocked on her door, and there was no answer whatsoever, so now I'm a little concerned, because knowing that the barrister was killed in his room, I don't know if there are going to be more casualties. We still have a cultist at large.
That's true.
So I think I'm going to head downstairs and just kind of coincidentally see what's going on with the gnome and the halfling.
So the evening downstairs is... The inn is still kind of in some kind of swing for the night, but it's starting to slow down. And you can see that Seedling, the gnomish female, she has just won a sizable hand from
the obvious gnome.
Yeah, from Glimbrin, the gnome, in a hand of cards. And she's at, and Glimbrin is, he gets up and says, that's enough for him for the night. He's heading off to bed. And he heads off to the dormitory. So we're going to put him off here. And Seedling then asks anyone in the common room if anyone else wants to play cards with her before she turns in for the night.
I'm down for some cards.
Yeah, you're going to throw down for a round of cards before things get crazy. Anyone else going to join?
You know what? I just got 3 silver.
No.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm going to go look for Ursula.
All right, let's do 1 round of cards, because there's a whole section here on parlor games, and I want to see how one of these works.
Yeah, I've never gambled before, so let's do it.
Oh, it doesn't say which one of these is cards. There's a dice game, a board game, arm wrestling... Beasts Among Tailors is a popular Skittle game. I'm not familiar with what that is. Bowls is a beer garden game. Long throws. Circular hats. Darts, dominoes. The Dwile flunking.
The what?
The originally a Mootlander game. That would be the, that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. So they throw you guys down to play a round of, Dwile flunking, and this is a Seedling explains that this is a common Mootlander pub game. The summertime pub sport of Dwile flunking has gained broader acceptance and is especially popular in the Reichland. It involves 2 teams, 2 circles. This isn't really a card game though. Mm-hmm. Scarlet Empress. There we go. Let's play that. Card game named after his grandfather, Empress Morella III. Let's see, it's arguably blah, 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 blah. 2 to 6 players, involves rounds of trading cards, drawing new ones, whilst trying to avoid the Scarlet Empress. So it's not unlike playing maybe hearts.
Okay.
So everyone playing puts a stake into the pot and then makes an average +20 gambling check.
+20.
What is our stake? All
right. So the stake is going to be. Well, she asked you guys, what can you afford?
I can afford 1 silver.
1 silver. She says that's a little low for her, but for the last game of the night, let's see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. So everybody makes The roll. I want to know your success levels here, please.
I should have went bigger. Wow. Three levels of success.
Three. Okay. And Jay?
Two.
All right. If it's a draw, all players either add another stake or drop out of the game. So you and I have both won. I also had three success levels.
Okay.
Oh, man.
This continues until there's a clear winner who takes the entire pot. So you and I are rolling off, but just the two of us now.
I did not succeed.
I'm at minus two. No, I'm at zero because I forgot my bonus. Don't forget the plus 20.
Oh, the plus 20?
Mm-hmm.
Then last time I was plus 5.
Oh,
I
then
rolled
you got,
plus
then you
3.
Got, oh, there you go. Then you got it then. You won.
I didn't realize I had a plus.
You won the round, and okay. then you take the pot. So that's one silver. Or two silver, because you got
silver.
Jay's silver.
So I go from 3 to 5. Sweet.
So then she gets up and shrugs and says, I guess the rest of the night's not for me, and heads off to the dormitory. The boatmen and the coachmen retire as well. So that'll be the inn patrons.
So is the landlord kind of behind the bar skulking, looking at us like cross-eyed?
So there's a bartender and a landlord.
Well, I know, but the guy that we upset upstairs.
Yeah, he's got his eyes on you, particularly Bernie and Doran Finn, who he's kind of a little like suspicious of now.
And Bruno's not down here wrestling anymore.
No.
Okay.
But
so it's getting quiet.
But just then, as it's getting quiet, a woman screams from the Graven's wing. Ah! It's a blood-curdling scream. The party arrives on the scene, and they find a small crowd gathered around a door to Bruno's room.
Who's the party?
That's us.
Oh, you're telling us we're going upstairs?
Yes.
Oh.
It's one of these.
It's room number 4, which is Bruno's room. Okay. Bruno, again, is the judicial champion. He is dead.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
With a dagger embedded between his shoulders.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Everyone in the inn is roused from their beds and summoned to the bar room downstairs. The entire populace of the inn comes down. It soon becomes obvious that several people who should be staying in the inn are either missing or dead. The missing folks, or the dead folks we've already accounted for, are two of the cultists of Slaanesh. Also, Reich Chandler, the barrister. You also have Bruno. And you also have the third member of the Ordo Ultima gang is also missing.
Right.
Oh.
While we're standing, while we were downstairs before we heard the scream, was the door still open?
To Bruno's room?
No, the front door, remember it was swung open earlier, or was it closed?
Did you close it, Jay?
Oh, that's right, Jay came in, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter now. Okay.
It's closed.
Door and fin.
The innkeeper announces that there is a murderer on the loose and advises everybody to lock themselves in their rooms until daylight, when he can send for the road wardens, or maybe even the river patrol, or both. Before everyone goes back to bed, the Graven comes down and displays the dagger with which Bruno was killed.
Is it ornate? Is it expensive looking? Is it just a piece of scrap?
Interestingly, the dagger looks familiar to you guys. Now, Bernie, you start padding through your stuff, and you're like, I've seen that dagger before.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, is that your dagger, Bernie?
Yeah.
Now,
shit. All right.
Do you guys say anything?
No. I actually slink back into the crowd quietly, as sneakily as I can.
Bernie, what do you do?
Who has the dagger?
The Graven's holding it right now.
She's just
presenting it to the...
It. Yeah.
This is the murderer's weapon. You're not sure how they got hold of it.
Yeah.
But you were pretty sure you didn't kill Bruno. But this is distinctly your dagger.
Okay. I'm going to ask as... real, I'm putting on my investigatory air, right? In my official capacity, madam, I must ask, how do you know that that is the murderer's weapon?
Well, this she says this was the dagger retrieved from Bruno's back. Are you familiar with this dagger?
No, I've never seen it before in my life.
So Eliza steps forward and says, I beg your pardon, Gravin, but I am certain I saw that dagger on her person earlier.
You surely must be mistaken.
You must perform a negative 20 charm check in order to convince anyone that the dagger went missing for any other circumstances.
Okay, so that means if I'm at 40, I'm now at 20? Jesus.
Looking for success levels here. Not great?
-7.
All right, they got a +3, so... The Gravin is hearing none of it, and she cuts the conversation off with an air of authority that you have yet to see with a woman in power in the Empire. She dominates the conversation with a certain finality. After all protests, accusations, and claims of innocence have died down, the Gravin stands up and says, I am authorized... as a Gravin, to exercise my imperial right of dispensing common justice. And it seems right I should do so here, given as I am the most prominently wronged party. Therefore...
You're the prominently wronged... I've just been framed!
Well, she continues with a hand held up. Therefore, I rule that this group shall be locked in their room until morning, when I shall decide further. All their weapons and equipment will be confiscated, and guards will be posted at their door and beneath their window. You, however, as she points to you, Dorinfin, she says, you, I sentence to replace my murdered champion until it pleases me to do otherwise.
Oh, really?
And a murmur kind of runs throughout the crowd, but no one questions her ruling.
I don't mean to be an ass, but we're staying in the dorm. It's kind of hard to lock us up in there. You want to put us up in a room upstairs?
She says she will arrange, and this is going to be room 8. She says she will arrange for you to be sequestered into that room for the evening.
I would like to point out that I had been downstairs at the time that it was discovered that he was dead.
So was I.
Right.
I just got here.
I get here and now...
Like, they were playing weird card games with gnomes, and I was watching. I mean, like...
Now, Bruno's body is handed over to the Morians.
Can I at least have my dagger back?
All your weapons have been confiscated by the guards. Now, Bruno's body is handed over to the Morians. Well, give me Bruno, since he's dead. I can chop him up. Sorry, Bruno, you've been cool. You guys draw a dagger in his back?
Yeah. Awesome.
Wait, let me see.
There's a dagger in his back.
Nice. And I cross his eyes.
Oh my god, I love it. Sorry, Bruno. You were a cool guy. I liked him.
He was a wimp.
I don't know why Bernie had to kill him.
He was a wimp.
He let his Gravin tell him what to do. Oh, come to bed. Oh, you can't be down here. What kind of man was he?
I thought he was like a jolly, happy, strong man.
I thought there was something wrong with him. I voiced that last session.
So Bruno's body is handed over to the Morians with a request that they look after him until dawn. It is taken up to their room, wrapped in a blanket, as are any of the other bodies that have been discovered.
So room 9's getting pretty packed.
The room 9 is now filled with...
right next door to our room.
It's become the morgue.
All right. The two of you... Bernie and Madison are locked into room 8 with the Gravin's guards outside and the door to the other two beneath your window. Did I say that? With another two beneath your window. Mm-hmm. All your weapons and equipment are taken, and Dorinfin, you are escorted to Bruno's old room and locked into room number 4.
Oh, great, where a guy was just murdered.
After about a half hour, things kind of calm down and go quiet from your perspective. Around 1:20 in the morning, a servant comes to your guys' room. This is Bernie and Madison. Comes to your room, and she says the Graven wants to talk with both of you.
Okay.
All right.
You are taken to her room, which is room number 1 at the end of the corridor.
It's not like we have a choice or anything.
By 4 guards, stopping along the way to collect the new champion. With room 4, that's you, Dornfin. The Graven is waiting for you, still fully dressed, and after ordering the guards to wait outside, she speaks to you. She says, I thought the three of you looked familiar. Now, does the name Karstadt mean anything to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Karstadt. That sounds familiar, and if Chris was here, he'd know. Because he remembers everything.
I listened to this.
Yes. Note-taking for the win.
Power note-taking.
I helped the Karstadt family escape death during the fire carnival mayhem.
She smiles and nods in recognition of that. And she says, yeah, you know, the Karstadt family is a very good, close friend of ours. And she spoke highly of... one of my good friends from the Karstadt family spoke highly of your deeds. And,
this is the one that got us the lawyer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And she says, you saved young Jocelyn in the mob. I can't thank you enough for that. Now, I must say, I'm sorry it was necessary to have to lock you up, but it seemed to be the only way to calm everyone else down. I believe you were innocent. No one would be so stupid as to leave his own dagger behind as a clue. Anyway, we have until dawn to discover who actually killed Bruno. I'm sure Damenblatz is behind it all. I'm going to Kemperbad to fight a lawsuit against him. And if I'm right, then his agents will try to kill my new champion. And she favors you with kind of a sardonic smile. But this time you will be waiting for them. The guard will be left on your room for the sake of appearances, but you will all spend the rest of the night in Bruno's room. One weapon of your choice will be returned to each of you. No more. No more than one. I don't want you trying to make a break for it quite yet. Let's get moving. We need to solve this.
How are we supposed to solve anything if we have to stay in Bruno's room all night?
I suspect that whoever this murderer is will attempt to murder my new found champion, which I publicly nominated a few moments ago. You see, the trial by combat that's forthcoming in Kemperbad is the only it is seen as the primary method for me to get myself out of this trouble I'm in. And Damenblatt seems to think that if he can take away my judicial champion, he will have the upper hand in ensuring my guilt.
And what is this that you did that I'm supposed to be fighting for?
She kind of scoffs and throws her hand to the side and dismissively and says, it was a big party. I don't know what happened to him. I think he drowned in his own punch bowl, but they seem to think there was witchcraft and poisoning involved, and the Damenblatt's father died. Okay. Died at my aunt's party. What can I say?
So your he wouldn't be the first. Is that we are supposed to sit in this room like bait for whomever or whatever to come, take care of whomever or whatever shows up, and then what for us?
She says she can assuredly make it worth your while.
Like what?
You know, people
I'm
keep
gonna have
telling
to put my life.
That.
I'm gonna have to put my life on the line here.
And she says, yes, you will, and I'll make sure you're paid handsomely for it.
I want my name cleared.
All right, give me my sling back.
She says, I assure you, there will be no tarnish to anybody's names here if this plays out as I want it to.
Fine.
Hand me my staff sling and we'll get this party
started. Can we at least have our weapons back?
Yeah, we get
She said not just one. No, if we're going to do this, we need to be fully armed and capable.
Especially your champion.
I want her to give me the dagger because I want to examine it.
So she shows you the dagger.
Like, is there anything odd about it?
Aside from a little bit of blood on it, it's your dagger. You're not really sure how someone else got hold of it, but they did. And it's your dagger.
Okay.
So she says, if you can... I overheard, and she doesn't... You get the impression it's not actually her, but like through her network of informants here, that you were you were short on some coin. And she suggests that she'd be happy to pay you on successful completion of this, and perhaps even the beginning of a more fruitful relationship between this party, because she talks very genuinely to you. She does legitimately appreciate what you're doing here. And that she would be happy to pay you a sum of 20 gold collectively to help her out of this situation.
That's it?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
I happen to know you have more than that.
She says, let's consider this the first of many engagements.
Well, their retainer would be necessary if we're going to have future endeavors together. We've got to make this at least 30.
All right.
10 each.
Haggle. That is a legit haggle test.
58.
I got to get the grabbing stats out here since she actually probably... Well, who's haggling?
Wait. I have a 41.
I
had a 29.
No. What is your stat?
29.
Oh, your stat is a 29. Okay, I'm a 41.
28.
Okay, I'm...
Yeah.
So how many success levels do you...
Well, can I get 10 from them?
You can get 10 from one of them.
Then I'm 60. Zero.
At a zero?
Yes.
All right, and she rolls a no. She got a positive two.
Oh.
Her ability to negotiate and her ability to turn the conversation in a way and weave words, you're out of your league by a factor of 10.
And no amount of puppy dog eyes, and I'm a little...
You try,
old,
you try your
matter.
Street urchin tricks, and you try a few things here or there, but there's just an air of finality to what she says as it comes out that you just are left with nothing left to argue.
I'm sorry, you're right. 25 it is.
And she says, it was 20, young one. And she
guys.
And she says, but as a gesture of good faith, she gives it to you up front.
So okay. We all get basically six and...
You guys decide how you want it. There's a bag of 20 gold coins for you and a single hand weapon with the promise of hiding Wait, out in...
A single
Brunei.
Hand
can I,
weapon?
Can I carry
each,
two hand weapons?
Each. A single weapon
oh,
each.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And to be hiding out in Bruno's room with the instructions that...
Tell you what. To be magnanimous about this, I'll take six, you both take seven, and let's move on.
I was gonna take six. I don't need the extra.
Okay. All right.
She suggests that you turn off all lights in the room. It would encourage whoever might be looking to come after you to maybe present themselves sooner or more openly.
Okay. So are we in room four?
If you're ready to be in room four, right, Bruno's so. Room.
Have they disposed of Bruno? Is Bruno?
Bruno was already wrapped
in
up.
Yeah,
him
is
in
taken into room nine.
Yeah,
that's
wrapped
right,
in a sheet.
Okay, so we're in this room and we're supposed
Which
to.
Which is quiet, by the way. The Morian's room has gone quiet.
Okay, and being in this room, all we have to do is basically keep Jay alive until tomorrow morning.
Yes.
So I say we push the bed and anything else that's in that room up against the door and just go kick it on the other side of the wall and wait it out.
No, I want whoever...
I actually want... I want
yeah.
them... I want them coming.
You guys, I'll stand back in the corner. Have fun.
I'll voluntarily lay on the bed like I'm sleeping to draw them in.
Okay. I'll draw my dagger. I'll stand at the ready.
So you're taking the dagger?
I'll take my dagger back.
Okay, so that's the weapon you're taking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are there other options?
You have a sword and a dagger, don't you? As your
Don't I thought you had a hammer?
No. Oh. I do have a sword and a dagger, but I...
You have a shield, a sword, and a dagger.
No, I know what I have, but you said that something about a hand weapon being available?
You are permitted... She's permitting you each to be re-equipped with a single weapon.
Oh.
Like,
while this
weapons?
Is going on.
Like,
yeah.
You get to go back and get stuff.
You're not being given all your equipment back. All
right, fine. Then in that case, I'll hold my sword. Yeah, I'll take my sword back.
And Madison...
I'm useless in hand-to-hand fight. So I do have a staff sling. I'll have to stay in the corner and fling rocks.
Do you want my dagger?
I'm useless. I only have 14 strength. I literally can't hit anything.
Okay.
I don't have any options. I got to take my bow. All right. But,
you got the bow. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to for the sake of rules purposes here. Who has night vision or low light vision or the equivalent?
Oh, so I do.
I think all three of you might.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which makes
the
no light situation a non-issue for all three.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yep.
Okay. So you have no problem blowing out the candles.
Nope.
So describe to me, so this room, after I describe the room, I kind of want to get an idea of what you're going to do to it. There's a bed, there's a dresser, there's a window, there's a fireplace, there's a stone chimney moving up to the ceiling. There's a rug out in the center. There's a double bed.
I'll stand across from the bed, like where the chimney would be.
Okay, off to the side of the chimney.
Yeah.
There.
All right, sure. and then Dorinfen, did I hear you correctly? You want to kind of pose in the bed as a...
Well, I was just thinking about that.
Or watch that.
Yeah, because I kind of need to be as further away from the door as possible to be able to use my weapon. So maybe even dummying up something in the bed to make them think that it's me, and I'll just be lying on the other side of it.
So you take some of Bruno's old clothes.
You could just take an arrow and, like, you know, without using the bow.
Improvised weapon stabbing with the arrow?
Stab with the arrow.
True.
So are you making a bed dummy?
Yeah, let's do a bed dummy.
All right, so... Let's get the quality of the bed dummy roll here. Bed dummy roll. What kind of relevant stat do you think you could use to make something interesting here?
Is there anything for like creativity?
Outdoor survival.
There's art.
There's like art.
What is art based off of?
Dexterity.
All right, give me a dexterity roll. Art, if you have it.
Awesome.
Oh,
that's an 06.
Yeah,
nice.
That's
the best dummy.
You have a very proportional. Very proportional. And it's, you even got like some fake hair and things made out of Bruno's old clothes from the dresser.
Nice.
It looks like a substantial person curled up in a blanket in the bed.
We all marvel at your creativity and craftsmanship.
You know what? I will sneak under the bed. I'll just lay under the bed for now.
All right. And you've got your bow staff. I mean, bow staff, your
sling staff, yes.
With you under the bed. All right. Now, it is the middle of the night. You guys have had a long, rough night. You're all getting tired. It's as much as your adrenaline's pumping, now that things have calmed down and you're literally just waiting for something to happen, your eyes start getting heavy. Everybody needs to make a plus 20 endurance check or fall asleep.
Endurance? That's toughness.
Plus 20? I'm awake all night.
Plus 20?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so an easy one?
Yeah, it's called the average check. So this will be plus 20 to your roll.
Four successes.
I'm awake.
All right.
Two successes.
Dorinfen? Negative one. Dorinfen. Where were you standing? Or where were you
on the other side of the bed?
He's right here.
All right, so you're leaning against the bed, trying to keep yourself hidden, but your eyes get heavy, and ultimately, you don't know it, but you've fallen asleep.
Okay.
So all awake characters, that'll be Madison and Bernie, can now make a minus 20 perception check. You estimate it's about 2 o'clock in the morning right now.
Okay. Do we get anything for our vision?
Not yet. If anybody has anything that would help them with hearing,
I got a three.
That bonus.
So I'm at
positive three.
An acute sense or a sixth sense.
You don't get this roll, so sorry.
I'm at plus three.
Plus three. All right, you hear, Bernie. You hear a soft scraping noise coming from the chimney of Bruno's room. Now, sleeping characters. Oh, that comes later. We'll take that in a second. You hear a scraping noise coming from up on the roof and the chimney.
Okay, I alert you to the fact that this is happening.
What is that?
Somebody bump Jay awake. I mean, Dornfist.
Well, he's leaning up against the bed I'm under, correct? Yeah. So am I able to wake him?
Well, hold on. So
fling something at me.
Dornfin, make me a perception check, but this is going to be very hard at minus 30. This is your test to wake up before...
At minus what?
30.
Not even close.
Okay,
Okay. But he's the muscle.
So you are given both the unconscious and the prone condition to begin whatever's about to happen.
Oh, I should have started a fire.
So give me a moment then here to find those for you.
But aren't you curious who it is?
Well, yeah, totally. Oh, but it's,
and you also get the surprise condition.
I'm not coming down.
You are both surprised, prone, and unconscious.
Alrighty then.
Prone. And unconscious. So help the group with the basics of what ailments you're suffering.
Damn it,
from
Dorn right Finn.
Shows up and he falls asleep.
I'm gonna make some comment about how
I don't get to do anything.
How untrustworthy
my turn.
Elves are.
Can't trust an elf disturbing.
You should write that
prone,
in your book of grudges.
I can only move.
Dorn Finn fell asleep when he was supposed to be a witch.
Okay. Wait. And then again, surprise, I can make no action or move in my turn.
What? When
so,
you're sleeping?
How many turns do you lose?
Well, I don't know, because two of the things say that I can't do anything for my turn, so do they double up?
So the prone condition and the surprise condition only last for one round.
Okay, good.
Okay.
After that, you are, the rest are...
What about unconscious?
What solves unconsciousness?
I'm about to smack him.
I know, right?
He's about to get one.
That'll work.
Time to wake up.
Somebody else. You were in a deep sleep, unfortunately. It's been a long day of travel, and you find yourself just a little too exhausted to stay awake.
Can I try to, like muscle him away?
No, I'm thinking pillow off the bed, wake up time. I mean,
something quiet.
Ring his bell. Yeah, but wake him up.
Yeah, like, I'll just, like, knock him with my elbow.
I'm full on.
In the face.
All right.
Wake up
so,
time.
Oh, yeah, so that's all fine. Dornfin, you are awake. You can give me the unconscious one back, but for the purposes of round one of whatever happens here,
I can't
those two are in play.
Okay. So you're still lying down? You're prone?
Apparently I'm still prone, yes.
Okay.
So
and what's the
usually
other one?
Usually at the bottom it tells you what you need to do to get out of the prone condition.
I need to stand up. Remove the prone condition when you stand up.
Okay, so that'll be your movement for the turn.
So and then
but I can't do that for the first turn. I have to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So you're going to have to pass the surprise condition, then you're going to stand up, but you still have an action. But so you're basically a turn and a half behind everybody else.
Right.
As you kind of like gather your bearings, get yourself situated, stand up again. But the rest of the group managed to stay awake. So you hear the scratchy noises coming from up above.
So we both
you guys
know
bop,
what's going on.
You
he
bop
Doran
Finn. He starts to groggily wake himself up. And what do you do?
I'm gonna wait for whatever it is to come down the chimney.
At this point, I'm not under the bed anymore. I gotta get out and ready myself. You know what? Back to the door.
Back to
the other side of the room, readying my staff with a. Lead ball.
I'll stand like some distance away from the chimney, but like in front of it, effectively.
Okay. The so you're allowing whatever's coming down the chimney to enter the room.
Yeah.
Okay. The dogs really are into it too. Someone comes down the chimney and into the room.
Is it Santa Claus?
It's Eliza.
Eliza.
What is she doing in the damn chimney?
What are you doing, Eliza, in the damn chimney?
Do you say that?
Open your mouth. Say the wrong thing. You're about to eat this.
Okay, so you as soon as she enters the room, you say that?
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
She looks around. You can see she's squinting in the dark. She's having a hard time seeing.
Yeah.
But she immediately pulls out a dagger, and you... Judging by her body language, she's no joke. She's got a posture and a fighting stance of a professional. And she and you can tell she's having trouble seeing where it's coming from, but because she's a human, she can't see in the dark, but she's got herself kind of in a defensive posture.
Can I try to knock her dagger out of her hand?
Disarm.
Yeah, like I'm standing right in front of her, effectively, if she's coming down the chimney.
Go ahead and let's start a combat initiative roll here.
And I can see her.
So let me get everybody's initiative. Now, Eliza, here's my Eliza stat sheet that I'm working on here. This thing's like my new upgraded stat sheet for characters.
Very nice.
Nice.
Now,
she's very buxom.
For reference here, Eliza is a gold tier assassin. By the way.
What?
So, great. Let's have fun with that.
I know who had your dagger.
Okay, so
yeah.
So she gets plus 2d10 to her initiative. So that's gonna be plus 17 to her. Okay, so she's going on 77.
What?
Yeah.
Her base initiative is 60.
Yep.
What?
Welcome to a professional. All
right.
So Eliza goes first.
35.
50. That's Doran. Layla, where are you?
86.
What?
Wait, no, for your straight initiative stat.
Oh, is for 40.
40. And what was yours?
35.
Madison? Okay, so then it's going to be Bernie and then Madison.
Yes.
All right, so with lightning reflexes far beyond what you were expecting, Eliza, with a blur of motion and flurry, leaps out into a variety of swipes with her dagger before you even have a chance to act.
What?
Like wildly into the air, or is she attacking something?
She is going to attempt to attack Bernie, who's up close.
Okay.
Wait, so what did we roll for?
This is your initiative.
I know, but...
Oh, you didn't need to roll for that.
Oh.
It was just your straight initiative stat. So, she... grab your defense if you're going to do a dodge or a melee defense, but she is leaping out at you with a charge. And it's dark out, which is going to be minus... Is dark minus 20 or minus 10?
But I can see in the dark.
You can see... You don't suffer the penalties, but she will.
Good.
I think she gets plus 10 for the charge.
Poke her in the eye. Make it worse.
Yep, minus 20.
Minus 20. Okay, so she scores... what's your success levels, Bernie?
I'm at minus 1.
40. So she is at plus 1, so she'll take an advantage.
Wait, what? How's she...
Because she has minus 20, plus 10, ended up with a success level of 1. You are wounded for... 6 points of damage.
What?
And you catch, just before you get cut, you catch a sickly green tint or sheen to her dagger. Right, you catch it just slightly in your eye before it hits you.
So with my shield, I mitigate my strength bonus plus 2.
Did you have the shield?
Were we allowed to have?
No, you only have your sword, remember.
Like, does the shield count as a weapon?
We don't count as a weapon in this case, yeah.
I didn't have
it. It is
shield.
Actually in a weapon category.
So, okay, so...
So it's going to be your toughness bonus minus... Oh, can I have the hit location die to see where you've been hit? Thank you.
Oops.
And, actually, that's a critical roll, too, since you rolled a 55. You get hit in the left leg.
Okay.
So it'll be 6 damage minus your armor and your toughness bonus.
Okay, minus my armor is 2, so that's 4, and my toughness is 34, so 3. Is that right?
So you take one.
So I take the 3.
No, you take 1.
No, I know, but my toughness
bonus...
Yeah,
just take the 10's column. Sorry, okay. I didn't know what you asked.
Okay, so I take 1 damage.
So you've been hit in the leg for 1 damage and a critical hit, so you can choose to either permanently reduce your left leg armor by 1,
mm-hmm.
or suffer the critical hit.
By 1, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, so you do not suffer the critical, but you immediately feel this little pinprick that makes it through your armor, but that little bit that made it through starts throbbing and burning, and you feel this sensation start pulsing through your body.
Wait, does that mean I take the minus 1, or does my armor mitigate?
You still take 1 point of damage.
Okay.
But you also... also
take a mutation.
Suffer poison.
Aww.
You are suffering from, not that you know what it's called yet, but so that we have something to call it, you are suffering from a poison called heart kill.
Mm.
You suffer 4 poison conditions.
What? 4?
So, let's cover what the poison does for a second here, since this is highly relevant. Poison. You have been poisoned or injected with venom. At the start of each round, you lose 1 wound for each condition you have, ignoring all modifiers. Each poison condition... While poisoned, you suffer -10 to all tests. And if your wounds reach 0 when poisoned, don't be there. Don't let that happen.
So how do we get rid of the poison?
So at the end of each... let's see.
Oh, I have to take a endurance test.
And the endurance test is at -10. And for every success level you get, you can remove a poison condition.
Okay.
All right. Good guy's turn. Dorinfin, you're up.
Can't do anything.
You were like, oh, what's going on, everybody? What's happening here?
So I think my surprise goes away.
Surprise goes away. Thank you. All right. Bernie, you have just been stabbed by Eliza, the master assassin.
I think that the pain in my foot will probably kind of, like, knock me down, I'm thinking.
So this is the beginning of your act, so you suffer...
-4?
You suffer 4 wounds.
Jesus.
And at the end of your turn, you can make your endurance check to try and shrug off the poison.
So I'm at -5 right now. So I can do other stuff and do the...
You can act normally, but whatever you do is at -10 because of the poison. And then additionally, at the end of your turn, you'll do your endurance check.
Okay, fine. So if I can still do stuff, then I'll try to take a swing at her with my sword.
All right. She will attempt to dodge it.
Would that be -20 since we're in the dark still?
You guys don't suffer the darkness.
She suffers it.
She does for any opposed rolls. Yes, she's at -20.
Okay, just making sure we're going to...
So we want to know success levels here.
Yeah.
She's at -2.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm at -4, and also I rolled a double.
Uh-oh.
All right, so that is going to be a fumble.
We're in trouble.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm at -5.
Okay, Bernie, roll me a D100 again for your fumble.
So that I can die?
She won't be poisoned.
Oh, that was a good one. It's an 11, and also a double. Does that give me anything?
No.
That's a crit, no?
I know.
You crit your crit. No, you hurt yourself and lose an additional wound.
Oh, God damn it.
Can
I count that roll for my success level poison?
Eliza is going to take an additional advantage if you guys could toss one for me, since she won that opposed roll.
Okay, and then should I roll for my...
This is your endurance check? Can you shrug off the poison?
So my endurance is... Oh, my toughness. Toughness 34.
So it's at -10.
Jesus, that's not that high. I get one.
How many success levels?
2.
Then 2 poison conditions get removed.
Sweet. Nice.
So you can hand 2 of those.
Because you said it was -10, right? Yes,
yep.
2.
All right, perfect. You can feel the effects of the poison continue, but it gets a little bit less severe. Madison.
I think for the first time ever.
Run for your life!
Launch one.
Okay, so you're going to launch one of your lead pellets from your two-handed bow or staff sling.
Correct.
Now, are you going to do any kind of called shots, or are you just going for it, going to hit her? Because now the one of the benefits here is if you hit ranged attacks are just your skill alone. It's not an opposed check.
Okay.
So you could actually knock away all her advantage here if you damage her.
So would he get the combat bonus for doing it at half or less of its full length?
It's well less than half of my distance.
Yeah, so you're going to get a +20.
Okay, so that puts me at 61 to hit. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. She can still try and dodge it, though, so she'll do that.
Okay, so... But what is the calling my shot cost me?
And another, it's -20, but you get to choose the hit location you get.
And there was back down to 40.
If we remember though that if you hit someone in the head with your rocks, you can stun them for a turn. That was kind of the benefit there.
She's a badass. We'll give it a shot. I'm going to go for the head.
Okay.
Oh, I think I hit Dorfin. Sorry, dude. Negative three, and it's a double.
All right, so you swing at her. She also performs a variety of maneuvers that look like they're meant to evade some kind of ranged attack. Maybe unnecessary, but it worked nonetheless. And give me a D100 for your fumble.
Oh, boy. 15.
You also hurt yourself, suffering a wound.
We are the worst protectors.
Oh my god!
Ever.
Right. So Eliza, now having a sense of what her three attackers looks like, sums up the room and decides that she is going to throw herself across the room and attack Madison Patterson.
What? The little girl?
It's been fun.
Oh,
dodge, run!
You screwed, sir.
Oh, dude.
You screwed. All right, so she has a positive 4.
You can roll.
No, positive 6, because she has 2 advantages.
Roll a double 0.
So you're gonna do it. You can either roll a dodge check, which is based off your agility, or a melee basic roll. Whichever one's higher is the one you want to use.
No melee basic.
yours was the dodge roll.
It's 19.
I remember.
We will go with dodge at 45. Minus 2.
Minus 2. So she's got a positive 8 on you, which is going to be 13 damage.
I'm dead.
No!
Does that truly bring you down to 0?
Oh, well, that takes me down to... You said how many damage?
13.
I am at negative 6 hit points right now.
Is that taking into account your toughness bonus and armor?
Oh, actually, no. But that's not very impressive. So
I know it's not, but you might be looking at spending a hit point here.
Armor is 1.
That's 12.
And toughness, right?
Yep. 10's value.
I'm glad you guys are sitting down. 2.
All right, you're down to 10. You're down to 10 damage coming at you.
I'm still dead.
So you're not dead. You're so
head points now.
You have a couple options here.
Okay.
Maddie's got a couple options.
I have faith.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to explain. Before you just throw them out there, I want to tell you what's naturally going to happen to you, and then you can decide what to do about it.
Okay.
So you are going to get hit for 10 points of damage, which is going to drop you to 0, making you unconscious, and you'll suffer a critical wound.
Okay.
That's what happens when you hit 0.
Okay.
Additionally, the green sheen of her dagger is still present. You are going to be poisoned with heart kill.
At negative, 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 negatives.
Yeah, you will also suffer the 4 poison conditions like Layla did.
Bernie.
Like Bernie did. So your options are a couple things. One, you can spend some of your fate or fortune to re-roll. Though she got a pretty killer roll, it's going to be a hard one. You can say,
how did that miss?
You can just say, doesn't matter what happened, the hit just didn't.
No,
didn't
the actual rule, how did that miss?
Yes, yeah.
I will implant that rule for one.
And that one is
a permanent fate point.
How did that miss?
That's I think you kind of have
a permanent fate point. So you're still in the fight, and that hit never happened.
Right.
Okay, so you somehow nullified that. She still got the advantage, though, for a successful.
Why would she go after a little girl?
Because I just threw a rock at her. I mean, she said angry lady.
Well, from my perspective, strategically, that was the only weapon that would take away her advantage without her getting a chance to participate.
Stop it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if she wants to keep her advantage, that's going to be the route. All right, so Dorfin, you are up.
So I'm obviously going to stand up.
Yeah, you stand.
Yay!
Okay.
And she's within reach because you and Madison were right next to each other almost. But not within reach, but I mean she's within.
Still, I'm going to draw my bow and I'm going to shoot her.
So this can be like point blank range.
Yeah, point blank range. Yep. So my minus 20 plus my plus 20 are going to offset each other.
What's your minus 20 from?
The minus 20 is from the prone condition.
Oh, you're standing up though.
All right. So you stood, so that's now gone. That was
so I don't take the minus 20 then?
You're no longer prone because you spent your movement for the turn standing.
Okay,
you
just so then. All right.
She failed to dodge.
By 6.
You succeed by 6? Yeah. All right, so tell me how much damage is coming at her.
Oh, that's right. So that's 8 plus 6. 14.
14. She's got a toughness of 5. She's not wearing any armor because she's still dressed in the servant's clothes.
Yeah.
So she has 9 damage coming at her. So she takes a solid hit. Let's see here. Oh, I didn't bring a pen. So 9. 16.
Decide to wake up, did you?
About time. What'd you let me fall asleep for?
Right. She gets hit. That's a solid hit. And she's you can see in the darkness that she's looking for some options now. Bernie.
I'll go after her again.
She loses all her advantage too because you moved.
Good. Away. I'm at minus three.
She is at zero, so you miss, and okay. She gains an advantage.
I'm gonna roll to see if I can get rid of my other poison. One success.
That's a 92.
Oh, I thought it was a 29. No.
So you suffer two more wounds at the beginning of the turn.
What? Okay.
And okay. Madison.
Are you sure it's not a 29?
just. Because fate just, happened in front of my eyes here, and I just watched Dornfin put an arrow in her. Does she seem phased, or do we have a long way to go?
Yeah, no, she seems phased. She's looking for... In this game, a human is still her. A human. Like, it's not, you're not going to find, a 50 hit point human out here. Like, a human's still going to have in the ballpark of 15 hit points no matter who you are.
And he hit her for 9?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll take another shot at the head.
All right, so this is not you're engaged with her right now. So does she suffer some penalties for attack? Melee combat or ranged combat in melee is not an ideal scenario for you. I think you're probably minus 20. Okay.
In that case, I will go to dodge mode and utilize my plus 20 dodge for defense.
All right,
that'll and not attack.
That'll work. Which brings us back to Eliza. Eliza is going to exercise her her what's her skill here? It's called I think it's Relentless. And she is going to disengage from combat freely, and she is going to run over to the window, flips it open, swings it open, and makes a leap outside and jumps down from the second story that you're on down to the ground floor patio. And she lands deftly like a cat at full sprint.
Okay.
Cool.
And I say, hey, remember when you two saw those open shutters in the barrister's room? I wonder if she just jumped out when she was done killing them earlier.
Yeah, could be.
So that was her move,
that's her
right?
Turn.
So
yeah,
I'm
Dornfin,
next.
You're up.
Yeah, no, I'm shooting right out the window right at her.
But I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, no,
lady.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Goodbye.
Ooh, she fails to dodge whatever's happening here.
Okay, so I am dead on it.
All right, you're straight. So give me a damage.
Control?
Let me know your damage.
That'll be a straight 8 then.
8, so she takes 3. She is not looking great. She takes an arrow to the back, stumbles, but continues to work her way across the courtyard, likely with the hopes of disappearing into the darkness, but you can pierce through that with your vision quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do I have an opportunity to follow a shot?
Bernie's
I think
next,
somebody
and then Madison.
Needs to start yelling that she's running out the window so that everybody else near knows.
Can I try to tend to myself? Like, is there a way to help the poisoned condition?
I'll give you a second roll if you want to use a second endurance attempt if you want to use your action for the turn to do that.
Yeah, because there's nothing I can do.
So at the beginning of the turn, you suffer the 2 damage.
Did the top of the turn already come?
It's right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm at minus 8.
He went
8.
Because he's
okay.
50.
So I can roll twice.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to heal.
Remember, they're at minus 10.
Yeah, and it's my strength. Or my toughness. My toughness. So I'm at. Yeah. No. Yes.
Beautiful.
Two more.
2 success
nice.
Levels?
Yes.
All right. You feel the poison work its way through your bones. It aches and it hurts.
That was fortunate.
But you feel like it's run its course.
That was really fortunate.
I can't carry you.
Madison.
Did I not get it shot off?
This is you now.
Okay, perfect. See in the dark, so there's no modifiers, right?
Not for you. You actually, you can
I'm
even
still
have
half distance or better.
You're at normal distance, but you also have an elevation above her.
Okay.
So I'll give you a plus 10 to your roll since you
on top of the 20 for half or 10 for half distance.
You don't have the half distance anymore since she's now running across.
Too far
the,
away.
Yeah, she's out of the room. You're like kind of you're inside the room, looking shooting out from an elevated position. She's in the courtyard below, attempting to escape.
Okay.
No.
Damn, I'm not really good at this.
Okay. She zigzags, serpentine, whatever you throw down there hits the dirt.
Sorry.
Eliza is making a run for it. Barring you guys stopping her or pursuing her, at the end of this round, she will disappear into the darkness.
I will look at these two and is it worth pursuing?
There's no, I mean, unless you want me to leap out this window, there's nothing I can
do. Yeah, I mean, she's half dead.
So,
yeah.
Dornfin's got the last attempt here.
Another shot, Dorn.
I'm definitely taking another shot at her.
All right, so this will be at what would be the equivalent of...
normal range?
Not normal range, but... Well, for you, for bow, it's going to be normal range still.
Because
yeah.
I'm at... My bow is normal range plus 50.
So, yeah, it's normal range for you.
Okay. Normal range, then.
She rolls 100 to dodge, which means she trips.
Oh.
Plus 1.
Okay.
All right, you take an arrow, you launch it into the darkness. It's just on the fringes of what... your night vision can kind of pierce through, but you see her shape, and you see her. You landed square center, and you see the shape just fall forward, motionless in the ground, right on the cusp of her running out to the docks.
All right.
So she dies.
Supposedly.
Let's go check it out.
Yeah, we need to get. We need to wake some people up, and we need to get downstairs.
Where we started? I mean, geez Louise.
I'm going out the window.
So at that time, your front door to your room bursts open, and the two guards who are posted outside come in with their swords branded, and they're ready to join in and help.
A little late there, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, where you been?
So I, you know, like we point over to her figure,
the courtyard,
and
she's
we say,
down
we,
there.
You know, I'm gonna go investigate her body.
All right, so you guys, yeah, the guards, go. And several inn patrons together.
Can I knock on door 9 and say we got another?
The Morian priest is like, okay, you know, like wrap it up like the other ones and bring it on in, and you can see that like their coffin, and then like what is it, the four, one, two, three, four, the five other six other bodies, the six other bodies that are there are all piled up together. And
how did we get
it
to six?
Is it five?
We have two cultists, the barrister, and Bruno. That's four.
Well, now her. This is going to be five.
So now she's
Bruno,
five.
Bruno, the cultists, the barrister, and two cultists. Five. Right,
yeah.
And then her is six.
So
okay,
she's
six.
We have to assume she's dead.
No,
oh, no,
we
sorry.
Don't know that.
Two
yet.
Cultists, the barrister, and Bruno is four.
Right, you haven't found the body of the third cultist
that,
yet.
That's what we're saying, is we don't know where
yeah.
the dude is. We
yeah.
don't even know if he's dead.
Right. So we have only five dead.
Right. But I'm now.
Well,
really
we don't even know if,
yeah,
if she's
know
dead
if she's
for
dead
sure.
Yet.
So the group of you work your way down there and recover the body, bringing it back to the bar room. Everybody inspects it for a bit. You find a small vial of green tinted poison.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, does she have any trappings of note? Let's see here. Does she? Trappings. She has her dagger, still maintaining the green sheen, and servant's clothing.
I'm gonna.
She is quite dead.
Nothing in her pockets?
Okay.
No.
I'm interested in that vial.
All right, you taking it?
Yeah.
So write down a vial of heart kill.
Okay.
I'll take the dagger cautiously.
She has a sheath that she would
yeah.
put it in. You can see the sheath has a little residue of it as well, but on the inside of it, not on the outside. So like this, it's a.
So yeah, I'll take that.
It's a dagger coated
it's
in
heart
kill.
What?
Heart kill.
Kill. That's right.
So it's a dagger coated in heart kill. Bye, Eliza. All
right. I'd like to make a perception check or whatever with the graven.
Okay.
My mind is spinning that all of a sudden her right hand. Man, woman, appears to be taking out the Graven's, I don't want to call them lieutenants, but first, the barrister dies in room 3. Before we discover the body, two of our party witness the shutters being open, the window being ajar, and at that point, we had to assume that somebody came in or out of the window. Now, we just watched this girl's Spider-Man out the window of our room.
Well, she Spider-Man down a chimney, didn't she?
No, she jumped out the window.
No, no, when she came into the room, she Spider-Man via at the chimney.
Yeah, she chimney sweeped us as well. So we have this woman who now has potentially been in this room twice, the first time to kill Bruno, the second time to try to kill us, because the Graven knows that an assassin's there. I'd like to figure out if the Graven has any or had any preconceived notions that Eliza might be dirty and not tell us about it, just see what happens. Was it not a trap, but was she kind of
maybe she suspected
about
it?
Yeah, without telling.
So the Graven is still in her room during all this going on, but the you kind of formulate your plan of conversation, and when and come dawn, you're given an opportunity to confront the Graven and talk with her some more.
I assume we're still in room 4 now.
So now we're gonna fast forward to 4:30 in the morning here.
Okay.
So dawn breaks. The Graven calls everyone to the ballroom in the morning. But there is no answer from the Morian's room.
They sleep during the day.
What do you guys do?
Maybe they're overseeing the dead.
Well, we could do a couple of things. We could either go to the ballroom.
Well, the landlord begins to walk upstairs.
Okay.
Are you guys going with him, or are you going to stay downstairs?
I'll go with him.
Let's go kill some undead. I'll follow.
Yeah.
The door is forced open, as it is locked.
Well, wouldn't he have a key?
You know what? Thank you.
Not a very good landlord.
He's a landlord. The landlord's going to have a key and just go like this.
He
and
says,
open the
you
door.
Know what? I forgot. It's been a rough night. And he opens the door to reveal an absolute scene of carnage.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
All three of the Morians are dead.
What?
And their coffin has been broken open and contains a freshly dead, headless body.
Do we recognize the clothing?
It has no distinguishing characteristics.
But it's headless, so it's not animated.
Are all the bodies still in there that we had put in that room?
That pile of bodies in the corner still?
They are all still there, wrapped up.
Okay.
With the exception, the only disturbed portion here appears to be the coffin having been opened with a headless body in it. Identifying the body inside of it is quite difficult, as it has no particular markings, but it does have a series of printed leaflets stuffed inside of its pocket denouncing the Countess of Nuln as a lusty degenerate who must be removed for the benefit of all of the Empire. There's also another individual who appears to be missing from the morning roll call. And that would be Ursula.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her horse are also gone.
Lucky.
I didn't mean to tear Ursula's up, actually, but
yeah,
she's
not dead.
She's not gone. She's not dead. She's missing.
Okay, so we call her missing, perhaps.
Tear her up.
Who's this? Oh, that's Eliza. Eliza's dead.
They've already raided her body.
That's dead.
That was an assassin that I took out in 3 shots.
That's pretty good.
You did have the advantage of being able to see in the dark.
Yeah, well, and what I didn't notice, I didn't realize too, on the first round, I didn't realize this, point blank range is actually a +40 to your roll.
As long as you're not in the engagement.
Yeah.
So, once roll call has effectively been established here, and everyone is assembled, the Graven brings out any of the remaining captured dead bodies and presents them to everybody and kind of collects them in the bar room. We have the variety of wrapped bodies. We have the wounded cultist who has recovered from her wounds but is still somewhat unconscious on the table and bound and gagged. And the Graven explains that the woman was in the pay of Baron von Damenblatz and is responsible for Bruno's murder as well as the attempted murder of her newly appointed champion, gesturing to you, Doran Finn. The Graven rules that the Damenblatt's agent is to be locked up. The Damenblatt's agent is dead, but the cultists are to be locked up and handed over to the road wardens or river patrol upon the first opportunity.
We don't know where the third one went.
Yeah.
The morning cleaning crew, who begin to kind of work through the rooms and deshuffle all this mess upon going to their storage closet, which is room 22 right there, you hear one of them scream out as there's been a body stuffed in there, and it ends up being the remaining cultist. You also see all of their other equipment in there has been stuffed and pushed aside, as if several bodies at some point over the course of the night have been stuffed in there. With dawn, the inn kind of begins to shut down and pack itself up for the night. The landlord's trying to clean up and regain order. Certain patrons begin to leave and pack up their things and take off. The countess, or rather the Graven and her retinue begin to assemble all their things and begin transitioning their goods from their coaches to the barge that's outside, which is going to be taking them upriver to Kemperbad. But before everybody leaves, the Graven asks to sit down with the group of you and speak with you. She explains that Doran Finn, she would like to formally extend an offer as her judicial champion, and asks if you will fight for her in the upcoming trial by combat in Kemperbad.
I think we can make arrangements for that to possibly happen.
She says she's prepared to provide her new champion a bonus of 40 gold crowns should she succeed in the trial.
How about we add on top of that 40 gold a legendary bow?
A legendary bow? You want to haggle with her?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Haggle this up.
Love this. Oh!
How'd you do?
Zero, but I'm on it.
She also zeroed. So, who has the higher skill? This is going to be fellowship, right?
Yeah.
66.
29.
All right, she wins. Sorry. But she, you sense you almost got her, you know. She appreciates the witty repartee and the back and forth of negotiation that you pulled off there, and you know, maybe that'll benefit you in the future. It's unclear, but she welcomes you and asks you to rise as her official judicial champion if you accept the offer.
Sure, why not?
All right. She says she's actually quite excited to have an elf warrior of your caliber to do this. Now, we'll come back to this in a moment, but you're given the opportunity right now to officially change your career to the judicial champion career right now, free of all expenses.
I have no idea what that
is. We can look into that off camera here, but effectively it's a career transition that you can take on, which will have a whole new host of skills and talents you can take on that are probably going to be combat oriented,
right.
And you get that kind of as a in-story free bonus.
Okay.
Now, meanwhile, she also has the rest of you here and is quite thankful for what's happened, and is and says, "I hope you will accompany me. I would like you to accompany me to Kemperbad for the remainder of the trial. I could use your services and would be happy to pay for them if you're interested in joining my retinue."
Sure.
And what services do you think you could help provide? I'm certainly short one barrister, and otherwise, tell me about yourself, Bernigud. What services can you help provide?
Well, I've worked as an investigator for the last handful of years in the Reichland, and I fancy myself a justice-oriented kind of person. I like to speak up for my beliefs.
And she says, she questions you, and how are you with the human law?
I'm very familiar with it, having been, you know, part of the investigatory world.
And she asks if you would be interested in, over the next few weeks, being acting as her informal legal counsel.
I will gladly be the informal legal counsel.
All right. And then she turns to you, Madison, and says, now, a halfling I have not yet had as part of my retinue, what kind of services can you help offer me?
Well, I have many skills, in fact. I've been told I'm quite the cook. In fact, adventuring before with a prior group, I was the camp cook. It's how I paid my way with the larger adventurers. I also have a special skill in singing. That's one of my entertainment skills. And actually have perfect pitch as one of my advanced skills. So I will entertain you as well as serve you. In addition to that, I'm actually quite an accomplished thief.
She says there's more?
Every once in a while.
She chuckles at that you're even willing to admit it. But she appreciates your candor.
For my employer. You have to know that on occasion I'll have to obtain things that you may need, and I have that ability as well.
She says, let me then make this clear. I will hire you for your services, though we will have an understanding that anything of mine is off limits.
Without doubt.
And you will run anything by me that you are stealing, that might have an impact on myself, my social standing, or any of my families and friends.
We'll chat often.
She says, honesty is going to help us have a good relationship here. And she drives that one home.
Before or after?
So,
forgive
with that...
permission.
Yeah.
Right.
With that, the party and the retinue pack up all the bags, pack up all the boxes, pack up all the clothes, pack up all the jewelry, and all 20 or so of her retinue, and you guys included now, are pack up all your stuff and move yourselves onto the barge. Dorinfin, you're given your own quarters in the barge as the judicial champion. You are held in some esteem. The rest of you are bunked with the rest of the guards and other retinue members. Madison, you find yourself cooking.
Yep.
You find yourself singing and entertaining. As the party ventures off downriver towards the town of Kemperbad. And Kemperbad is... the journey towards Kemperbad, it's uneventful. It's probably the most peaceful trip you've had in quite some time, largely due to the imposing presence of having the niece of a countess, of one of the electors of the empire, traveling down the river. It just doesn't get messed with. And you guys have a couple days of peaceful journeys on your way to Kemperbad.
Can we assume we've had a good night's rest?
You have all had a couple good night's rest,
okay.
Which results in a variety... unless you have any serious wounds, you're back up to full.
Okay.
Because you're going to recover at least your toughness bonus worth each night. And with that, we have a couple experience points to divvy out here. So, let me know if any of these things trigger off for you. As well as the usual awards, which is 100 experience for the session, for good role-playing, bright ideas.
Is that 100?
Yep. Okay. Experience points will be awarded for the following. 30 points for actively participating in capturing Bruno's murderer. I think you all got that.
We all get that. Okay. You said 30?
Mm-hmm. 10 more for participating directly in disposing of the cultists.
Yeah.
I don't think I was.
I get that one.
Yep. Jay, you may miss on some of these because of not being in last episode.
I didn't really dispose of them, but I did expose her, if that counts.
This is going to be up to you guys if you want to claim credit. I'm not going to force it or take it away from you. Just if you think your character through role playing. Oh, I got you. Oh, they're exposing. There
exactly.
We go.
Yes.
That was clever. You can have 5 points just for the joke.
All right, thank you.
5 points for coming out ahead when playing cards with Seedling. That's Dougie.
Ew.
All right. 10 points for catching anyone who is trying to hide a body. I don't think anybody got that one.
No.
We never saw it happen.
10 points for taking direct action to stop Pram Handler before he reaches Fefrauscher, which is the those are the Prim Handler was the fiance who went in and beat the crap out of the Schmidt.
I think that's Chris got something, because didn't he like cause a ruckus when they first tried breaking in and then got out of the way?
I don't think anybody gets credit for that one.
Okay.
I don't remember, yeah.
All right, so.
Sorry, I don't.
No, that's good. That was the end of that list. All right, so there's our experience for the night, and we will pick up with our next adventure, which is called A Day at the Trials.